Well, thank you for all the good singing. It was wonderful. You know, singing prepares our heart to hear the message from God. Amen. And let me say a few words. I walked into the Bible Baptist Church of York, Pennsylvania in February. It's a fairly well-known church across America. They have had three pastors in 60 years, a great soul-winning church, a great school ministry, a great bus ministry. In the heyday, brought in over 1,000 just on the buses, I am told. And they looked good. When I got there, everybody was friendly. They acted like they had been taught, you know, right. They acted like they were soul winners. They acted like they were praying people, separated, believed in sanctification, followed it, practiced it on a daily basis. And I thought, wow, we are going to have a wonderful time at Bible Baptist Church of York, Pennsylvania. And we started. I had them to print off a book that your pastor printed off for you. The Revival We Need by Dr. Oswald J. Smith. He preached those sermons in 1924. Four or 25. They are 95 years old, that book that you're reading. Many of you are reading it, and you have told me that it has been a blessing to you, convicting, but a blessing to you. And so I read the book many years ago. I know what the book can do. And so I began to preach. I began to preach out of the sermons that Dr. Smith preached. I started preaching out of the book of Thessalonians, out of the book of Colossians, just preaching the pure word of God. And as I told you in Sunday school, I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a performer. I'm not an interpreter. I don't try to give you the meanings of words and scripture and all that. I'm not an interpreter. I'm an old-fashioned Bible preaching preacher. Amen. And I like to just preach the Bible. You cannot go wrong reading and preaching the pure word of God. Amen. And so this morning, if you want a title, Obstacles to the Life of Prayer. And I remember preaching using portions of his sermon. I'm never the same. If you come tonight, I'll be completely different than what I am this morning. And I never preach the same in churches. Because churches are different. Amen. And each night is different. Each service is different. And so I don't understand these guys that you can just, you buy your watch, you can time them. They do this at a certain time and they go at a certain time. And you won't ever do that with me because you're not going to know what I'm going to do because I don't know what I'm going to do. Amen. I just follow the Lord and try to please Him. Now take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 66:18. Obstacles to a prayer life. Now I want to say this, and I want to say it as lovingly as I can. This church, this Bible Baptist church, was not what I thought they were. Matter of fact, I've never walked into a church and found out it was the church that I thought it was going to be. I am surprised every week of my life. I do 48 revivals a year now. I used to do 52. And I have learned, Pastor, not to take for granted just because a church has a reputation of being a famous church or being one of the top churches in America. And I am privileged to be able to preach in those churches, but I never take for granted anymore. Never take for granted that the pastor is saved. I never take for granted the deacon board is saved. I never take for granted that the Sunday school teachers are saved. I never take for granted that they are where they should be, because I have been surprised, as Gomer Powell would say, many, many times. Amen. And now I go into a church and I say, okay, God, I'm going to just do what you tell me to do, and it's in your hands and it's in the hands of the church. If you want revival, you can have revival, but you're going to have to do what the Bible says to do it. Amen. And in 7 weeks, I saw trash cans. They had trash cans this big, and I saw the trash cans fill up with liquor, with pornography, with drugs, and all kinds of sin out of the homes of one of the greatest churches in America. And they cleaned up. They got cleaned up, and that's the reason why God walked in there and saved, I don't know how many, saved 60 plus people during the 7 weeks that I was there. But they have had people saved almost every day in that ministry, and they have baptism every Sunday since then. And it's because they took this serious. You can sit there, you can play church, you can go through the motions, you can do all these things and tell yourself, well, I'm right with God, when you're not. You can do all of that and miss out on what God wants to do. Look with me, and if you will, stand with me to Psalm 66, 18, a verse that a lot of people, most people has never even read this verse. A lot of church people, been in church all their life, have never heard this verse preached. But I want to share it with you this morning. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity, if I regard sin, that word regard means if I cherish it, if I'm unwilling to repent of my iniquity. Listen to what God's word says. And David declares it very strongly. He said, the Lord, not that the Lord won't hear, answer your prayer, but notice what it says. The Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear Brother Beckham. The Lord will not hear you as a lay person, as a pastor, brother. He will not hear your prayer if you got iniquity in your heart. If you have unconfessed sin in your heart, you will never get your prayers answered. And let me say this. I've already met some of you that have had surgeries. Some of you are very sick, folks. And you're here. Thank God you love God enough to come. Amen. But, church, you cannot even pray for these members. You can't pray for your preacher. You can't pray for all those missionaries that's in there on that wall if you have iniquity in your heart. We must get iniquity out of our lives so that we won't let one another down. Amen. America is fastly going to hell because they have forgotten God. America is not the nation it was when my daddy was a little boy. And it won't be when my grandchildren gets grown. It won't be the same nation. This nation is going to hell quickly. She needs for her people to be able to pray. But we got to get iniquity out of our lives. Father, I love you. I pray in Jesus' name this morning that you will use me again. Lord, I'm not much, and I know I'm not much. Lord, I'm just an old rascal that's been saved by your grace. But Lord, I want to be used. As I prayed in Sunday school and as I pray every time I stand to proclaim your word, I want to be loving. I want to be sensitive. I want to be caring. And again, Lord, if I can, I will sit down in a minute and allow Pastor to do the preaching. Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. And Lord, I pray for the salvation of the lost today again. Lord, they may know nothing about you, nothing about your grace and love and mercy. And Lord, I know the Holy Ghost is going to speak to their hearts. I know that. But Lord, they have to accept it. They have to repent. They have to call upon you to save them. And Lord, I pray they'll do it this morning. Again, thank you. Sure love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me say to you, there are hundreds of thousands of people this morning that are blaming God for America's shape. They are blaming God for all kinds of things. And people seemingly, they don't want to take the blame. Brother Beckham, I have been where in my life I did not want to take the blame for my life. But see, if I make a mess, I have made a mess. It's not because of you. If I'm not right with God, it's not because of my friend here. It is not because of you. But Israel always was blaming God. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. And all of a sudden, a man by the name of Isaiah, a great preacher, a powerful preacher, an eyeball type preacher, just look you right in the eyes and preach the word of God to you. Amen. Without compromise. And Isaiah got tired of hearing Israel talk about God and God this and God that. And Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2 said this. And I want you to turn there and follow along with me. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. It says, "Behold the Lord's hand." I believe he even pointed his finger at him and said, "Listen here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." He made it very plain. He looked at, he might even walked around among the crowd like I do many times. I'll walk down the aisle. I'll talk to you. I'll sit down by you. I'll put my arms around you. I'll do anything I can do to get you to understand. It's time to listen to God. It's not God's fault that America's in the shape she's in. It's not God's fault. His hand is still as powerful as it always has been. His ear is not, wax hasn't deafened his ear. He doesn't have wax in his ear. He is able to hear us. But notice what Isaiah said, and I'll say it to you this morning. Listen to it. But your iniquities. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So sin then is the great barrier between the church and the living God. Sin, iniquity of all types, has put a barrier between the church and the local church and the living God. And Brother Beckham has tried my best to preach the word of God to people. If I know you're in sin, I'll just say, look, you need to get it out of your life. I have seen people come, they talk to me, and then they come back the next night and they sit there in that sin that they told me about the night before, and they won't let it go. And I'll do everything in my power to let them know that God loves them and that God wants to take that sin away from them. And I mean separate it between the east and the west, and just completely put it under the blood and forget it. Amen. That's what God wants. But people, they'll sit in the church house and they'll sin day in and day out and week in and week out and month in and month out and year in and year out, and they expect God to do something, but God will not do nothing as long as there's sin in your life. Amen. Look in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. I remember preaching on down this line there at the Bible Baptist Church. People started moving down the aisle. People started moving during the preaching. They started moving during the singing. They started crying out to God. And I mean getting the hold of the horns of the altar and crying out to a merciful God. And God sent revival. And God will do the same here. Listen to it. Hosea 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time. And I want you to underline that in your Bible. For it is time to seek the Lord till He'll come and rain righteousness upon you. How many of you will agree with me? How many of you young people will listen to me? How many of you moms and dad will agree with me? And you grandmas and grandpas will agree with me. Is it time for America to wake up? Yes. Is it time for the local churches in America to wake up? Is it time to put our sins upon the altars of our local churches? Is it time? Is it time? How many of you agree with that? It's time. See, if you don't agree with it, you're in trouble. You don't agree with the Word of God, because the Bible says it is time to seek God. Yeah. It's time right now. I mean to get dust off our altars and get back on our face and agonize to a loving God. But you know, churches don't want to do that. They want to go through the motions. They want to do everything they can to just be religious. We don't need a religious crowd. We need a genuine crowd. We need a crowd that trusts God and have faith in God and believe in God and pray to the God that we say we believe in. Look in 2 Chronicles now, 7:14. Now I'll say this very lovingly, young ladies, very lovingly. Okay. Very important to listen. Okay? Listen very carefully. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The promise of blessings here is based upon what we do here. It says that my people, I know the context, which are called by my name, declares the Lord. He said, if my people, and by the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're His people. You're the sons of God. You're the daughters of God. And it says, if my people, so He's talking to us here this morning, and He says, shall humble themselves. Now listen to me. Shall humble the. Hey, there's the problem. Let me just talk to you for a moment on humbling ourselves. Humbling means that we will see our sin as our sin and then bring it to the altar and get upon the altar and just give it to God. That's humbling. That's humbling. That's just saying, okay, here is my sin. I want to give it to you, God. Amen. That's what that verse means. I'm going to take my sin and I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to get off of the pews. I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to be real to God. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try to cover up anything. I'm going to humble myself on the altar and I'm going to just say, Father, I am a no good rascal and I want you to take my sin so that my church, so that my nation can be right with you. Because I know if I'm not right, I am hurting my church. I am keeping my church from being blessed. And Lord, I am humbling myself before you so that you can bless my church, my home, my life, my children, my wife, my husband. Amen. That's what it's talking about. And so what Brother Beckham does, I just put it right out there and I asked you eyeball to eyeball, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to humble yourself, swallow your pride, swallow whatever you have in your life and just give it to God? Are you willing to do that? You young folks, are you willing to do that? Moms and dads, are you willing to do that? If you're not willing to do that, you might as well just let Brother Beckham get on a plane and leave and continue to play church and play games with God. Because listen, God is not in the game playing. God wants to send revival, but we must humble. We got to. You say, but Brother Beckham, that's optional, isn't it? No, it's an essential. It's a necessity. And God says, if you do this, then I'll do what I say. But notice what else it says here. It says, humble yourselves, but it also says to pray. Now, the average church, they don't pray. I was so amazed this morning at the people that got here at 8:30 and was coming in between 8:30 and 9:30. I was amazed, preacher. I was amazed. And I give praise where praise is due. Amen. If it's not a praying church, I just say, look, you're not a praying church. You're playing games with God, and God's going to put His judgment upon you. But I have to say to you, I saw a lot of you down there praying this morning. I saw a lot of, and you wasn't just in there for a minute. Many of you was in there a long time, and you was praying. Amen. Children, young people, moms and dads. And I want to compliment you. That's one of the essentials. Keep it up. Amen. Keep it up. Don't quit praying. But there's something else in this verse that a lot of churches knows nothing about. A lot of preachers knows nothing about. They have never studied it. They have never taught it. They have never practiced it. A lot of lay people's never practiced it. And it's fasting. When it says seek my face, it has the idea there of fasting. If I may, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to raise your hand. But I have asked churches, how many of you have ever fasted in your entire Christian life? And I have had people to raise their hand that has been saved 30 and 40 and 50 years and has never once fasted to God. Oh my soul. That's the reason why you have. So I tell preachers all the time, I said the reason you have trouble with those kind of demons in your church is because you don't fast. Jesus said the only way you're going to get victory over that type of demon is to pray and fast. That's the only way you can get them out of your life. That old strong demon that's trying to keep you from praying and keeping you from being sanctified and keeping you from reading your Bible and keeping you from being a soul winner and all these things. That demon, the only way to get him out of your life is to pray and fast. Amen. Am I still in the book? Amen. Just going down the line there. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek my face. I remember when the young preacher stood up in Pennsylvania, 600 plus people there that Sunday morning, and the young preacher got up and he said this. He said, and he said, and he didn't just say, how many of you will fast? Answer it in your own mind. Oh, no, no, no. He didn't do that. He said, how many of you will fast 4 days a week and pray with your pastor for this church to go into revival and continue in revival? How many of you will stand to your feet and obligate yourself? You'll obligate yourself to a job. You'll obligate yourself to a ball game. You'll obligate yourself to a karate school. You'll do all these obligating and committing yourself to all kinds of stuff. But how many of you will commit yourself to the Bible? Baptist Church and to God that you'll pray and fast for 4 days a week? I was thinking, oh my soul, I hope this young man is being led of God. If he's not, this place is going to blow sky high. And guess what? 3/4 of that church stood up. 3/4 of 600 people stood up to their feet and said, preacher, we'll do it. We'll do it. And they didn't just say they would do it. They did it, preacher. And they're still doing it. And they have men that come, and we start the service at 7 o'clock every night. And we was getting out at 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. Leaving the church after 12:30 at night some nights, and these men got a burden and to fast and pray, and they stayed over after staying there all those hours after working all day, and these men got on their knees and prayed until 6 o'clock and went home and went to work. Someone said, how did they have revival in Pennsylvania? They had revival because they regarded their iniquity. They didn't cherish their iniquity. They repented their iniquity. And then they humbled themselves and they prayed and they fasted. And God blessed. Can it happen? Can it happen here, church? Yes, it can happen. But you're going to have to do what the Bible tells you to do too. Amen. If you're not willing, then just forget it. You will never be blessed of God like God wants to bless you. And let's go on. It says here, seek my face. But he says something else. Turn from their wicked ways. Then he says, if you'll do these 4 things, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But he said, the only way that I'm going to do those things, if you do your part. And they did. Preachers, former pastors, all types of people started cleaning out their homes, bringing bag load. I mean, not grocery bags, but garbage bags full of junk and putting it in a trash can. And the pastor or someone would take it ever so often and destroy it. And God began to bless. Are you listening? God begin to bless. But nothing short of a broken heart over sin, full confession and restitution will satisfy God. Sin must be forsaken utterly. Are you listening? It must be. It must. And that's the problem. Because people love their sin. They like to hold on to it. But we can't do it, church. We got to get rid of it. We got to throw it in the arms of God. Look with me now in Psalms 51 in verse 17. God alone is able to bestow a contrite and broken heart, a sorrow that will result in the confession and forsaking of sin, and nothing short of that will suffice. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. It's only God that's going to do it. Are you listening? Do you want revival? Do you want it at any cost? Do you? Do you want your children to get saved? Do you want to see mom and dad to get right with God, young folks that's coming to church on your own? Do you want your spouse right with God? Well, you got to get to the point, I am broken. You're looking at a broken man. But it took losing my wife to get me broken. It took me to watch her at the age of 49 go off into heaven after suffering for 2.5 years with brain cancer and breast cancer. An intelligent, beautiful lady. And I just saw her go to nothing. But it was during that time that God broke me. He broke me. He broke me all to pieces. I remember when he did it. Oh, you said, did you get mad at God? Oh, no. I loved him even more than I have ever loved him. Because he loved me enough to break me. Amen. Look in Proverbs 28 verse 13. It's coming right down to the invitation. What are you doing? What are you thinking right now? You're sitting there in that pew. The Holy Ghost is saying, hey, he's talking to you. What you going to do with your iniquities? What you going to do to help your church to have revival? Proverbs 28 verse 13. He that covereth his sins. He that covereth his sins. He that sweeps it under the table. He that hides it under the mattress. He that puts it in the barn. He that hides it under the seat of the vehicle. He that covereth his sin. Notice what God says. Shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth. Oh, listen. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Please. Look up here for a moment. I see people walk down the aisle and they get lost in the crowd. Oh yeah, they get lost in the crowd. Pastors gets all excited because the altars are full. I tell them, I said, don't get so excited so quickly. And they said, what you mean, Brother Beckham? Well, they down here. They down here and they confessing. But you can't count on that very much. But the ones that you can count on is those that confess it and then forsakes it and make it public and not be ashamed of it. Say, God took my sin away from me this morning, and I want to be accountable to this church. And if you see me go back to it, I want you to pray that God will whip me and chasten me. That's the ones you can count on. Amen. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You want to have mercy this morning? Oh my. Don't just confess it, but forsake it. Go home, pour it down the sink. Go home and get the pile of magazines and burn them. Go home and get that drug bottle and follow directions on the bottle and take what it tells you to take instead of 10 and 12 of them at one time. Our churches are doped up out of their minds across this nation. And God says, you got to confess it. You got to forsake it. And then I want you to look in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 13. Applying it. How many of you in this room right now are saying, oh my soul, the Lord is speaking to me. I'm miserable right now. I know Brother Beckham is preaching the Word of God. I because I'm seeing it. All he's doing is reading it. And I know I need to do that. You know, you don't have to wait until the invitation. Oh no. I'm used to people just flooding the altars, come into the altars during the preaching. And I've never broke a hand, I've never broken an arm, I've never stepped on anybody. I just tiptoe through the saints, you know. But you need to come. You don't, at any time this week or today, we don't know we're going to have all week. But right now, any time this morning you feel led to come to this altar, you do that and you do business with God. Why sit there and go through agony whenever you can get right and go back to the pew and enjoy it? Amen? Yeah. Jeremiah 3, verse 13. Oh, this is what we need to do. Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Look up here, please. Folks, look up here. Just acknowledge it. You know how you feel, Mom and Dad, when you see little Johnny and Susie out in the yard and Johnny does something wrong to Susie and you see him do it. And you bring them in and you say, Johnny, why is Susie crying? I have no idea, Dad. Now, Johnny, I'm going to ask you again because I saw you hit her. And he stands there and lies to your face. It hurts you, don't it? As a parent, it hurts you bad. It did me because they lied. Well, it's the same way with the church people. We sit in our churches and God says, I'm all-knowing, I'm omnipresent, I'm all-powerful, I live inside of you, I hear everything you say, I see everything you do, and you sit in my house and lie to me. You break my heart. You break my heart. You quench me. You grieve me. I've been guilty of it. And more likely, you have been too. But we have to acknowledge that we are sinful and get rid of it. Amen? Dr. Smith, in preaching this book, these sermons in this book, he asked 60 questions, 19 questions with subpoints. If you have the book, please read it. Because if we'll do what God's telling us to do, you'll see this book come alive in this auditorium. You'll see it come alive. You'll see the hand of God doing here what he did in 1925 in Canada. Oswald J. Smith, pastor of the greatest church in Canada, gave over $1 million to missions per year when people was making $62 a week. How did he do that? People took these questions serious and they got iniquity out of their lives. I'm going to just read a couple of them to you, maybe three. Have we forgiven everyone? Is there any malice, spite, hatred, enmity in our hearts? Do we cherish grudges? Have we refused to be reconciled? You want the Bible reference? Colossians chapter 3, 8 through 10. God says, since you have been risen with me, put off all of these. You can't be unforgiving and be right with the Lord. Brother Benny can't either. I can't have malice, spite, hatred, enmity in my heart. I cannot cherish grudges, and I cannot refuse to reconcile with people that I'm upset with and be right with God. Those are obstacles. God said you can't cover them up. You cannot cover them up. You can't. It's time to acknowledge this stuff is killing you. Amen. Do we get angry, Dr. Smith said? Are there any uprisings within? Is it true that we still lose our tempers? Does wrath hold us at time in its grip? Some of the most angry people I have ever met are church people. Yeah. We need to get it out. Last one. No, two more. Is there any feeling of jealousy? When another is preferred before us, does it make us envious and uncomfortable? Do we get jealous of those who can pray, speak, and do things better than we can? Churches are full of it. I had a person to come up to me and said about she was wanting me to talk to the pastor because he wouldn't let her sing. And she said, I can out-sing anyone in this church. And he always uses this couple, and I can out-sing them. And she didn't have a good attitude. And she said, I don't understand why my pastor won't let me sing. She was full of jealousy. And I said to her with a smile on my face, of course, I said, ma'am, I wouldn't let you sing either. You got the wrong spirit. And people will pick up on that when you stand before the crowd. I would not let you sing either. But this one I chuckled at. Do we get impatient, irritated? Do little things annoy us? I laughed when I read this. Are we sweet? Calm, unruffled under all circumstances. I said, Dr. Smith, I know you're in heaven, but if you can hear me, if you're one of those witnesses that's looking down, what in the world? Sweet and calm and unruffled all under all circumstances. Not me. Amen. No siree. My face will turn red in a flash. If I'm not walking, talking with the Lord that day, and I'm not praying without ceasing as you prayed earlier, let me tell you, I'll get ruffled real quick. I'll get irritated real quick. And I'll let you know about it. But if I'll acknowledge my sin every day, if I mortify my old flesh every day, if I'll mortify, that's what the Bible says, mortify, put to death, put to death. If I'll do that every day, then I'm not going to want to cover up sin. I'm going to want to glorify God in everything I say and do. Now what are you going to do with this? If you want revival in your church, you'll take this stuff and you'll apply it, you'll digest it, and let it help you. And if it convicts you in any area, you come right down here and you put it on that altar and you confess it. And when you get up, don't take it back to the pew with you. Forsake it. Leave it right down there. And that goes for the evangelist, to the pastor and his family, to the deacons, if you have deacons, Sunday school teachers, everyone in here. And if everyone will do what God is telling you to do right now, we'll have revival. Guarantee. How can you guarantee it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble, pray, fast, turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal your land. Amen? That's the promise God gives you. But we got to do what He tells us to do. Let's stand. Father, I love You. Lord, imitation scares me. Because it scares me that people won't follow the Bible. And Lord, if they don't follow what I have read to them today, Lord, we're going to just have a meeting. We're not going to glorify you. We're not going to lift you up in any way if we're not willing to get these obstacles out of our life. So Lord, help us. Help me. And then Lord, help every member in this church.